Only 6 blocks south of the Ashtabula County Medical Center lies a deep gorge where one of the worst bridge and train disasters in history occurred on the night of December 29, 1876. The Pacific Express of the Lakeshore Michigan Southern Railroad was pushing through the snow-covered tracks towards its next stop at the Ashtabula Depot, just 100 yards from the gorge. The headlight cast a golden glow onto the snowdrifts on the tracks, caused by the gusting winds and the 20 inches of snow. The elegantly appointed luxury train had left Erie, Pennsylvania, and was running 2.5 hours behind schedule. The lead engine, Socrates, was accompanied by the second engine, Columbia, which had been added for power to get through the heavy snow. Following the two engines were 2 express cars, 2 baggage cars, 2 day passenger coaches, a smoking car, drawing room, and 3 sleeper cars. The wooden cars neared the bridge over the deep gorge of the Ashtabula Gulf, covered with snow and ice. Most on board were not even aware of the gorge or bridge as they relaxed, played games, visited, or slept. The bridge, built 11 years before in 1865, was an experiment in all-iron construction pushed through by Cleveland businessman Amasa Stone, president of Lakeshore and Michigan Southern Railroad. Acceptable bridge construction combined the use of iron rods threaded through wooden trusses. But no one on board knew their lives were in danger from an experimental bridge they were approaching. They would never make it to the other side. Riding in the cars were approximately 159 passengers and crewmen, although no one knows the exact amount because there were no passenger lists. Travelers just purchased a ticket and boarded. Most were traveling home from the Christmas holiday. They were so close.
Some of his most famous hymns are Let the Lower Lights Be Burning, Wonderful Words of Life, Almost Persuaded, and Jesus Loves Even Me. He helped make gospel music popular and accepted as a separate music form. Of his wife, he commented to one of his teachers, "My life would have been a failure without her." Their luggage had been sent before them, and when it was opened by a friend, they discovered the beginning words to My Redeemer, which was finished by another hymn writer and has become a much-loved song today. As the Bliss couple rode in the coach on that snowy night, they could not have imagined Bliss would never write another song. Just before the lead engine Socrates reached the far side of the bridge at 7:30 p.m., a loud crack was heard. The bridge had broken in two. For all those on board, their world literally turned upside down as the cars fell, one by one, into the deep gorge below. Dan McGuire, the engineer and the lead engine, heard the crack and fearfully looked back. What he saw caused panic and disbelief. Instead of engine lights shining forward onto his engine, the lights were now pointed upwards. With a groaning, crushing, cracking sound, McGuire watched as the second engine simply disappeared like a ship sinking. McGuire still had the presence of mind to hit the throttle full force, and with that split-second decision, made it safely to the other side. The Columbia fell on one of the express cars, crushing all on board. It landed upside down with its headlight eerily pointed up to the night sky. The other wooden cars landed close by, wrecked and indistinguishable. Flying debris from oil lamps and wood stoves added further danger. The very things designed to bring comfort to the passengers now became a threat. One of the survivors who was barely injured was a woman from Racine, Wisconsin. Marion Shepherd would become a heroine that night, and others would testify to her rescue efforts in spite of all the odds. She would later recount her harrowing experience at the official accident inquest. Her entire testimony is also included in William Williams's 1878 History of Ashtabula County. She said,
"The bell rope snapped in two, one piece flying against one of the lamp glass, smashing it and knocking the burning light to the floor. Suddenly, there was an awful crash. I can't describe the noise. There were all sorts of sounds. Someone cried out, 'We're going down!' At that moment, all the lights in the car went out. I knew that something awful was happening, and having some experience in railroad accidents, I braced myself the best I knew how. I felt the floor sinking underneath my feet, and I thought of many things and made up my mind I was going to be killed."
Miss Shepherd helped pull people out, hold heads above water, tore her handkerchief and wiped blood from the injured faces, encouraged those still living, and broke windows to get people out. She aided another man as together they tried to offer help as quickly as they could and before the flames reached the injured. She would be praised by all who saw her. Down in the gorge and in the midst of the crash, 5 small fires were burning from one end of the wreck to the other. Heavy black smoke curled up from the gorge. folks waiting at the depot and folks living nearby rushed to the scene.
While the wounded waited to be rescued, thieves arrived on the scene. Accounts of robbery and even violence were later reported by those who survived the injustice of the thieves. The wounded were placed on sleds or whatever was available and taken to nearby shelters.
Proper leadership or direction, the rescuers attempted to remove people rather than extinguish the flames. The cars and people were engulfed within 15 minutes. Although water would not have saved anyone after that time, according to the inquest, it would have prevented their bodies from being burned beyond recognition. Ashtabula did not have a local hospital, so a wire was sent to Cleveland begging doctors to come. They did not reach here until 3 a.m. Railroad officials arrived by train with five surgeons to join local doctors in surgical work. It was now 7.5 hours after the crash. The freight house at West 32nd Street and Lake Avenue became a morgue. Few of the bodies were whole, with the exception of those who had been trapped under the water, ice, and snow.
The final figure for casualties was 94 dead and 64 injured. Among the survivors was the engineer on the second locomotive that went down. Among the dead was Philip P. Bliss with his wife, Lucy, as well as President Garfield's cousin, Mary Burchard.
Newspapers across the nation and world preserved at the Ashtabula County Historical Society's home at Geneva on the Lake. More than 40 unidentified partial bodies were buried in 19 caskets at Ashtabula's Chestnut Grove Cemetery on Grove Drive off Main Avenue. Today, a 35-foot obelisk rises to the sky above the burial site of the unidentified, including the remains of Philip and Lucy Bliss. The monument was placed 19 years after the accident at a memorial service attended by 5,000 people at the unveiling on Memorial Day.
The railroad company was held accountable for the poor bridge construction, leading to the death and injuries of the passengers. Amasa Stone, who pushed for the experimental bridge, was also held accountable. Several years later, he would take his own life. Several days after giving his testimony, the chief engineer of the railroad, Charles Collins, was found dead of a gunshot wound to the head. At first, it was thought suicide from his distraught state over the tragedy, but several years later found to be murder. Today, culverts support a causeway-type bridge much lower than the old one. Trains still travel over the gorge where so many lives were lost in a mere moment of time. A promise of hope occurred the day after that tragic night. Amidst the awful carnage and broken bodies, a baby was born among the survivors. Mr. and Mrs. Judson Martin were coming to their new farm just purchased in Lenox Township. Their young son was the youngest survivor of the accident.
Building was constructed. It was not much more than a shed, but it was a start. It was only about 100 yards from the accident site. Through the years, the hospital has grown to a thriving campus of health care, known today as Ashtabula County Medical Center.
Today, you can find several sites that commemorate the train disaster. The kiosk at the Ashtabula County Medical Center in the Smith Garden tells the story of that night and how the hospital was established. A walking path behind the hospital starts with an informational panel and leads to the site of the disaster. A state historical marker is in the hospital's south parking lot. The fire bell that rang that night, calling firemen to the site, has been placed at the present-day fire station on Main Avenue. A book, Bliss and Tragedy, The Ashtabula Railway Bridge Accident of 1876, was printed at the 125th anniversary of the disaster and is still being reprinted. In 2018, a documentary on the disaster began production.
The survivors and rescuers are all gone, leaving only historians, old newspaper articles, and memorials such as this account to remember the harrowing disaster of December 29, 1876.